Thousands of stars glow and twinkle in a dark sky. Below, soft light shimmers in a group of bushes and small shrubs in front of rows of well-manicured hedges. The bushes and shrubs begin to rustle. Words appear, Verona, Italy. A young man with shoulder-length hair emerges from the shrubs wearing a long overcoat and a ruffled long-sleeved shirt. Words appear, a really long time ago. A man has a bouquet of flowers in one hand and pulls a clump of leaves from his hair with the other. An estate with a balcony nestled amongst small trees appears. A young woman in a nightgown with long flowing hair steps onto the balcony.
Romeo?
The woman scans the yard. Romeo climbs a vine-covered trellis. Romeo stands on the balcony. A small rail separates him from the woman. Their lips meet in a passionate kiss.
To gaze upon you is like drinking from the purest fountain.
The woman takes the flowers.
The fairest stars in heaven do entreat your eyes.
Oh, Romeo.
Forswear it, sight. I never saw true beauty until this night.
Romeo extends his arm to the sky.
Romeo?
Yes, my love.
Why are you talking like that?
Romeo lowers his arm.
I felt like it sounded romantic.
Oh.
Don't you like it?
Yeah, actually, it's kind of nice.
Then by yonder blessed moon, I vow I shall speak.
Romeo slips. His fingertips cling to the balcony rail.
Okay. Are you okay?
No.
The woman yanks him up by the coat. Their eyes meet.
I'm okay.
Yes.
God, I missed you.
I missed you too.
You're the most beautiful woman in all of Rome.
Just keep talking.
You're the most perfect pair.
Yes, don't stop.
They will be saying our names for centuries.
Oh, what will they say?
They will say never were two hearts more destined to entwine than those of the lovers.
Yes.
Romeo.
Yes.
And
Rosalind?
She looks over her shoulder.
Shit.
What do we do?
My father.
I don't know what to do.
You need to go. Hide.
Rosalind tosses the flowers and walks briskly inside.
Rosalind
approaches the bedroom door.
Father?
I thought I heard voices.
An older man with white hair and matching beard.
I was in the commode.
Talking to yourself?
It helps.
Huh. I have the opposite problem.
Sorry.
The balcony.
Where were we?
Romeo takes her in his arms. Romeo flips his long hair.
They were saying our names for centuries.
Except, how can they say our names for centuries if...
If
we'll always be a secret.
We won't always be a secret.
You're a Montague, I'm a Capulet. Our families have been enemies for generations.
Rosalind, we will make this work. I promise, one day we will be together. Forever.
They kiss.
Good night, Romeo.
Good night, Rosalind.
Romeo climbs down.
1,000 times good night.
Nice one.
Romeo flips his coat and disappears into a grove of trees.
Romeo and Rosalind.
Rosalind leans on the balcony rail and stares dreamily at the trees.
It does have a nice ring to it.
Title, Rosalind.
This will be an everlasting love. This will be the one I've waited for. This will...
Rise and shine, love.
Rosalind's bedroom.
Oh, another late night, was it?
Oh, bloody hell. Are you trying to ruin me?
I thought you were cool with my sneaking around.
Sneaking around? Yes. Getting caught? No. Cover your tracks, woman, please.
Sorry.
The woman sets down a food tray.
Although, if I could date who I wanted to date, read what I wanted to read, there wouldn't be so much sneaking around in the first place. With their nurse. It's so unfair.
Right, well, I went to nursing school for 7 years, and now this is what I do for a living, so, yeah, life is unfair. By the way, that's what I call covert.
The woman lifts the tray off a book.
Oh, my God.
Rosalind leafs through the pages.
Nurse.
Right, let's get you dressed. You have lunch at noon.
Noon? And why did you wake me so early?
Oh, because your dad wants you to wear this behemoth again.
The nurse holds a bulky dress. Rosalind pulls the covers over herself.
No, get up, you lazy cow. Come on.
You can't live in this house forever, Rosalind. Your sisters are all off and married, and now it's your turn.
I'm too young to get married.
Too young?
Yeah.
Look at you. You're almost too old. Your mother had 3 kids when she was your age.
And don't you think she wanted more, Father?
Of course she did. That's why we had you.
The dining table.
So, your father's told me all about you. He even said that you wanted a career. Is that right?
Yeah, I intend to be a cartographer.
A cartographer?
The older bearded man wears a hat with a feather.
That's adorable. My third wife had an ambition once. Didn't care for it on her.
Mother of God.
But she wasn't as pretty as you are.
Rosalind cocks her head.
You know...
Rosalind turns with a slight glare.
If my father told you so much about me, Mr. Danielli...
Rosalind shakes her head.
He must have mentioned Josephine. Wherever I go, she goes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, when do I get to meet this Josephine?
What do you mean?
Rosalind points.
She's sitting right there.
Danielli turns and looks at an empty dining chair.
Josephine, no! Take that out of your mouth right now! Take it! Put it down! We've been over this!
It wasn't into me, I guess.
Oh, that's right. You want to marry for love.
Is there any other reason?
Money, status, land, nicer living quarters. No, no other reason.
We get one life, Paris. I want mine to be different. I want romance, passion, adventure.
Mm-hmm. And this mystery boy, he gives you that?
The pair walk down a stone staircase into a busy courtyard.
What?
I just wonder if all this sneaking around is adding to the attraction. Because in my experience, I've often found that it's pretty easy to mistake danger and drama.
Romeo appears behind them. As he passes, he places a note in Rosalind's hand. Romeo turns around, smiles, then continues on his way. Rosalind smiles, lowers her eyes to her hand, then clutches the note to her chest. She looks to the sky, takes a breath, then dashes in front of Paris.
Okay.
She moves quickly down a flight of steps. Paris follows. He catches up. She extends her hand. He takes it. They head toward a bustling marketplace. Women wear dresses with high necklines. Men wear linen shirts covered by long coats and capes. Romeo, wearing his dark overcoat with laced sleeves, stops at a vendor's cart. Rosalind approaches and stands beside him. They both reach for a small necklace. Their pinkies gently touch. They turn to each other, smiling as their eyes meet.
Stand back, cuz.
A man with a sword.
You're surrounded by Montagues. You might catch something.
They weren't even doing anything.
Not yet. They weren't.
We don't want any trouble, Tybalt.
We don't want any trouble, Tybalt.
A friend joins Romeo.
Then you should go back to your side of town where you belong.
Why don't you and your boy band meet us there?
Maybe we will.
You're welcome there anytime.
How about I welcome my fist to your face?
I don't know what that means.
It means I'm going to punch you.
They push each other away. They draw their swords. Rosalind sighs as the men grab each other. Romeo falls onto his back.
Okay, all right. You all have big swords. How about putting them back in your pants now, yeah? Come on, let's go.
Rosalind puts a hand to her hip. Paris approaches and stands next to her.
Let's go. Girl, that is one tasty Montagues.
Can I tell you a secret?
She flashes a wry smile. Later, Romeo and Rosalind hold each other and kiss on the balcony at night. Romeo steps away and kneels on one knee. Romeo produces a pendant necklace.
For you. I engraved it myself.
The crude printing reads Romeo plus Rosalind.
I shall wear it always.
Okay.
Romeo stands. Romeo puts his hands behind Rosalind's head, placing the necklace around her neck.
I'm sorry about my cousin.
Oh, well, you know.
I just wish we could live far, far away from here.
Where would we live?
On a mountaintop.
In a cabin.
Made of wood.
God, that sounds perfect. I could write poetry all day.
Oh, you'd be such a gifted poet.
You could keep the house and watch the children.
Yes.
Rosalind holds his hands with her eyes closed.
Wait, what?
Rosalind steps back.
Sorry. Well, you're off writing verse. I'm home changing diapers.
Well, the point is that we would be together. In public. Away from our families and all of this hate.
Rosalind Mulls.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
She grasps his hands.
I love you.
She gazes into his eyes. Her face drains.
Do you love me too?
Romeo nods with anticipation. Rosalind looks away.
Oh.
It's just...
Fine.
I wasn't expecting that, and just no one's ever really...
I should probably go. There's the guards, like, everywhere tonight, so...
No.
Just keep going so I don't get captured by the guards.
Romeo, wait.
Romeo stops.
The Capulet ball is tomorrow.
Rosalind, you know I can't be seen at any Capulet...
It's a masquerade ball. We could dance together. And no one will know that it's us.
Romeo stands on the trellis resting against the balcony.
I'll be there.
Great. Can't wait. 1,000 times, can't wait?
Next, Rosalind's room in the morning.
I've been waiting for him to say those words, and then he finally does, and I just freeze. Like an idiot.
Rosalind dresses.
I don't know what's wrong with me, nurse.
There's nothing wrong with you, chicken. They're not easy words to say. You know, unless you mean them.
Of course I mean them.
That beak all right?
Yes.
The nurse puts a mask on Rosalind.
It's okay. Tonight, I'll make it up to him. We'll dance, we'll sing, we'll kiss. Everything will be back.
I have wonderful news. Just when we thought we had run out of eligible bachelors in Verona, a family has arrived from the north. The Penzas, and lucky for us, they have a son who has just returned from the war intact.
Wonderful. You marry him.
That must be him.
Wait, now?
Now.
I'd rather eat really rotten goat innards. I'd rather bathe in the filth of 10,000 mules.
Give him a chance.
No!
Rosalind.
How many times do I have to tell you, Father? I don't want an arranged marriage. I want to travel the world, be free, have adventures with someone that I actually love.
You're a woman. You're not supposed to talk about what you want.
Outside the room, an attractive man with dark hair and a close-cropped beard rises from a chair.
Daria Penza, may I present to you my... beautiful daughter, Rosalind.
Rosalind gives a petulant look. Dario steps toward her.
Hello.
She glances up, then looks away.
Whatever.
Have a good time.
Dario looks awkwardly around the room.
Shall we?
Later, they ride in a carriage. Dario looks out a side window, his fingers against his lips. Rosalind glares, her eyes focused straight ahead. Dario glances at her, then returns his gaze outside.
So how do you like living in...
Let me stop you right there, soldier boy.
Soldier boy?
Granted, you are a big step up from the toothless octogenarians my father usually tries to pawn me off on.
Dario is taken aback.
But the fact remains, I have... literally no interest in you or in this whole arranged marriage business, no matter how many acres of land or special breed of horse your father is offering.
Cow.
Excuse me?
He's offering a cow. That's about it, I'm afraid. We're not rich.
Well, whoop-de-doo.
If I was you, I'd take the deal.
Would you now?
Yeah. I have some land, some prospects. I have all my teeth. Could do a lot worse.
Well, you're not really my type.
You're not exactly my type either.
And what is your type, Suede City?
Oh, my type is not a shrew.
Blow me.
Rosalind holds on tight.
Well, we're here.
A boat dock. Dario stands in a sailboat.
What's this now?
Yeah. She's a beaut, isn't she?
Dario taps the mast.
Yeah, that's not happening.
And why is that?
Rosalind stands on the dock under a sunny sky.
I have stairs. It doesn't look safe.
I was master helmsman of a six-sailed carrack. I assure you, she's plenty safe.
What if there's a storm?
Do you see any storm clouds?
What if I have to go to the bathroom?
She raises her brow. He cocks his head.
Oh. Oh, I see.
What do you see?
You're afraid.
What? No,
I can see
I'm
it in
not.
Your face.
No, I am not.
Look at the big, tough girl afraid of the water.
I am not afraid of the water. That's ridiculous.
Dario holds onto a rope attached to the sail, returning a snarky look.
I'm afraid of the fish.
All of them?
Yeah, it's a real thing. Ichthyophobia. Look it up.
All fish?
Okay, that's good.
Oh, this must be a nightmare.
All right, fine,
fish.
I'll go. I'll go on your stupid boat.
Fantastic.
I have somewhere I have to be, so 30 minutes max.
Would you like a hand?
No.
Okay. Watch out for the... Sorry.
She glares.
You got it.
She grabs a rope just above a pulley, then squats. Her long dress bunches up on the wooden dock. She stands. She clumsily steps onto the boat.
This is gonna be fun.
She struggles, grabbing more sail ropes as she sits near the front of the boat. Next, Romeo donning a white face mask at the masquerade ball. Romeo nods at guests as he walks into the ball and looks around. Candles and torches illuminate the large room. He walks across a fake bridge onto the dance floor.
Rosa, no.
Couples join hands and spin in circles as Romeo scans the room.
Rosa?
Next, Dario and Rosalind slowly drift across the water. Dario cuts food. He places a piece of food on the end of his knife and offers it to Rosalind. She takes the food from the tip of the knife.
Lucky knife. Do you hunt?
She drinks from a glass.
Yeah, I hunt.
Oh. Yeah, I grew up on a farm just north of here. With chickens, some cows, a very moody goat.
Yeah.
But my mum, she taught me how to cook even before.
I have a boyfriend.
She slowly raises her gaze to meet his.
You do?
Yeah. And he's waiting for me right this minute, so we just need to, really need to be getting going.
Your father never mentioned any boyfriend.
Doesn't know.
Well, you could have just told me that in the first place. We'll get you back.
Dario rises and moves to the rear of the boat, grabbing the wood tiller. The sky darkens.
Uh-oh.
Ah! What? Oh, my God.
She stands.
Oh, what?
We can't go back in this. We'll have to wait it out.
But we must. Go back! The ball started an hour ago!
At the ball, Romeo leans against the rail of a small fence, eyeballing party guests. Romeo throws his arms up in frustration. On the boat, Rosalind uses an oar.
You're getting drenched. Come sit down.
You said I wasn't gonna stop.
I'm a soldier, no weatherman.
I hope you're happy.
I'm not.
Dario sits under the sail, using it as a tarp.
Stop. Smile.
Rosalind sits unprotected in the middle of the boat, rowing.
Yep, we're going backwards.
At the ball, Romeo walks through the crowd. He approaches a masked woman with hair similar to Rosalind's.
Hey.
Oh.
I'm so sorry.
He covers his eyes and embarrassingly walks away. He composes himself as he walks around the oval room. He checks another woman and continues on. He turns in a circle, walking backwards.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
He locks eyes with an attractive young woman with dark hair. Her lips glisten. She looks at Romeo with captivated eyes. Romeo returns the same look, his mouth slightly open.
I'm Romeo.
But you can't escape my love.
She shortens the gap between them.
Juliet.
They share a soft smile.
If you feel like leaving.
Outside, night has fallen. The sailboat approaches the wooden dock.
This has literally been the worst night of my life.
Feelings more than mutual.
A soaked Rosalind steps onto the dock.
Thanks for nothing.
Yeah, right there with you.
Actually, the pancetta wasn't terrible, so thank you for that, but only for that.
Oh, you're welcome for that, but only for that.
Have a nice life.
Storms past candles burning on the walls of the boathouse. Later, she holds up her dress as she jogs through a large courtyard. She makes her way across the fake bridge inside the ball, passing guests as they leave. A man sweeps the floor. She stands in the middle of the empty dance floor, decorated with stars. A lone white mask lies on the ground near her feet. Later, Rosalind sits at a desk in a softly lit room using a feathered quill. A candle burns on the desk beside her. She wears a lace veil on her head. She writes Romeo on an envelope. She sets down the quill and grabs the envelope. Her breathing quickens as her eyes dart around the room. Next, morning breaks. The sun rises over a small hill. Rosalind rides a horse.
Steve, the courier.
Steve talks to a woman at a guarded gate.
What up?
Steve approaches Rosalind.
You did deliver my message this morning, yes?
The man with dark curly hair gestures.
Message. 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 I think so.
You think so?
He looks in a pouch tied around his waist.
Steve!
I definitely delivered all the mail.
He waves his hands.
And there was nothing for me in return?
No, just some letters for your pops.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
You're sure?
Yeah, 100%.
Later, Rosalind stands in front of a mirror. The nurse helps her dress.
You think he's angry with me?
I don't know why he would be.
Do you think he's tired of me?
I'm sure that's not it.
Then why haven't I heard from him?
Well, there is a lot of plague going around.
You think he has a plague?
He did look a bit boily, but it's probably just hormones.
Oh, my God.
Rosalind!
Paris appears.
Oh, she knows.
Oh. Well, I saw Romeo crossing the bridge, and he's headed this way.
Rosalind smiles at the nurse, then races onto her sunlit balcony. She holds onto the railing and looks to the courtyard. In the distance, Romeo walks erratically up a path bordered by a wall of thick-trimmed shrubs and statues. Rosalind takes a deep breath as Romeo stops at a large planter in the middle of the path. He picks a small bouquet of flowers and looks up, meeting Rosalind's gaze. He hesitates, then runs to his right, away from the path and the estate. Rosalind's face drains as she follows Romeo into the trees with her eyes. She turns quickly and dashes inside. Later, Romeo runs past a large, well-trimmed oval shrub. Rosalind's head pops up from behind the shrub. She hikes her dress and runs, tailing Romeo.
Where the hell is he going?
Later, night has fallen. A stout, bearded guard stands at a steel gate. The guard steps forward, holding a lantern. Behind him, Romeo sneaks out of the brush and makes his way through the gate. Rosalind appears. She sees the guard and jumps for cover. She tosses a rock. The guard runs the direction of the noise. Rosalind keeps her eyes on the fleeing guard as she makes her way through the gate. She runs down a moonlit path. She slows, staying close to a stucco wall. She stops and peeks over a small shrub. In the distance, Romeo makes his way up a small house wall, then over a spindled masonry wall. Later, Rosalind climbs the spindled wall.
Whatever. It's fine. It's fine. Friends.
Rosalind clings to the bottom of the spindles. She looks through a gap and sees Romeo in a balcony with Juliet.
Except for whoever that is.
The fairest stars in heaven do entreat your eyes.
The fairest stars?
Forswear it, sight, I never saw true beauty.
He caresses Juliet's face.
Until this night.
Son of a... Nurse, sweet Montague, be true. Stay but a little. I will come again.
Rosalind looks on with a shocked expression as the couple kiss.
Oh, blessed, blessed night.
Sadness washes over Rosalind's face. Her body sinks. Next, a cloudy sky during the day. A lone bird flies across the sky. The morning light falls gently on the well-manicured shrubs and statues of Rosalind's father's estate. Water trickles from the top bowl of a three-tiered fountain nestled between the shrubs. A cherub sits on a fish spitting water in another fountain. Light appears on Rosalind's face. She lies on her back on top of the covers of her bed wearing a dress. The nurse moves toward the curtains. A man plays a violin next to Rosalind's bed.
Not getting out of bed today either.
The nurse grabs the violinist and drags him across the room.
Stay out.
Hey, I was listening to that.
It was horrible. How long is this going to go on for? The sun is shining, the air is warm. A nice long ride will do you good. I'll call the stables and have them saddle your horse.
I can't ride the horse.
Why not?
I have cholera.
You do not have cholera.
How do you know?
Because I am a registered nurse.
Rosalind rolls onto her stomach.
What's the point?
The point is you can't lie around in bed all afternoon, chicken.
The nurse sits on the bed and pats Rosalind's leg.
I'll never love again.
I think you're being rather dramatic, Rosalind.
Rosalind pushes herself up.
Nurse, You don't understand. They were kissing and touching and it being all gross, and he was saying things to her that he just said to me 3 days ago. Mm. 3 days.
Yes.
Three, nurse.
Yes.
Yeah, the worst part is, it's my fault. I drove him to her.
Rosalind presses her eyes tight and shakes her head.
If only I said I love you when I had the chance.
Rosalind eyes the nurse, then walks from the bed.
This should be fun. Ah, young Rosalind.
Uncle Capulet. What a surprise.
Rosalind.
Aunt Lady, welcome.
It's been too long. Oh, you remember your cousin, Tybalt?
Tybalt feigns a bow.
I do.
And our daughter just returned from school.
Of course! Sweet little...
The aunt, uncle, and cousin move out of the way. Rosalind's face drains.
Juliet.
Juliet smiles and embraces Rosalind.
It's so good to see you, Rosalind.
Ow.
I think my earring's caught. Oh, just a little to the left. Oh.
Rosalind rubs her head and smiles awkwardly.
Wow. You're
all grown up now. I know. Oh.
The last time I saw you, you had gaps in your teeth and you came up to here.
Oh, it really has been a long time. We have so much to catch up on. It's so lovely seeing you.
Definitely.
Juliet runs away with a giddy face. Rosalind holds onto a stair banister, her knees buckle. Later, servants remove the covers from plates for the family at the dinner table.
Surely you know why I'm here, Adrian?
This is your quarrel, brother, not mine.
It is all our quarrel. You're a Capulet.
I don't like the Montagues any more than you do, but that's why there's laws.
We've let this get out of hand. It is up to us to make this city great again.
Can I say something? If you really hate the Montagues so much, you could just move.
Uncle Capulet eyeballs Rosalind.
I hear Sienna's very nice.
You let your daughter speak at the dinner table?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I thought this was my house.
Rosalind.
What? I don't go to his house and tell him how to do things.
Rosalind, take your cousin out to the garden. I'm sure you have much to catch up on.
But Dad,
the garden. Rosalind.
He glares.
No.
Tybalt smiles and raises a glass to Rosalind. Rosalind scowls as she and Juliet rise and leave the table.
Well, that was awkward.
Outside, two servants hold small shade umbrellas as Rosalind and Juliet play croquet on the well-manicured lawn. Juliet turns to Rosalind.
Do you always talk to your dad like that?
Whatever.
Rosalind nonchalantly hits her ball.
God, I can't wait to be old like you.
The servants shade them as they walk.
Ew. What's your rush? You won't be young forever, you know. What about another year of finishing school? That could be fun.
Oh, I'm pretty finished.
Juliet's ball goes through a wicket.
Rosalind, can I tell you a secret? But you can't tell anyone.
Rosalind addresses her ball.
I'm listening.
I'm in love.
Rosalind's mouth slackens, her eyes widen.
I met a boy.
Rosalind dabs her forehead.
And he is just the most wonderful boy in the whole world.
Juliet twirls.
I see. Where was it that you met this wonder boy? Oh, the other night at the masquerade ball. And already I can't imagine my life without him.
Time to go.
He says things to
me. Excuse me.
Beautiful, romantic things. You've never heard such poetry.
Rosalind glares at the smiling Juliet, then looks away.
Let me guess.
She purses her lips. Her chin wrinkles.
He compares you to the moon and the sun.
Juliet, her back to Rosalind, turns.
The fairest stars in heaven do entreat your eyes.
Rosalind approaches the stunned-looking Juliet.
How do you... It's Romeo Montague, isn't it?
Rosalind raises her brow as their eyes lock. Juliet staggers as she takes a few steps backwards.
Yeah. Everybody knows Romeo Montague.
A shaken Juliet plops onto a garden bench.
I'm afraid you're not the first young maiden he's charmed with his...
Rosalind sits beside her.
High cheekbones and fancy words. I'm such a fool. Yeah, you kind of are.
Rosalind caresses Juliet's shoulder.
But don't beat yourself up about it. You know, could have happened to anybody.
Did it happen to you?
To me? No, please. Juliet, you're not even of marrying age. Why settle down with just one man when you can, you know, live a little, play the field, sample at the buffet of life?
How do I do that?
Rosalind holds onto her mallet and cocks her head.
Well, I could show you, if you want.
Juliet perks up.
You would do that for me?
Rosalind shrugs.
What are cousins for?
Juliet hugs Rosalind's shoulder. Next, the two women enter a crowded pub at night. Both women wear hooded cloaks. They smile and look around the candlelit pub full of men. All the men look their way.
Now, who wants to buy us some drinks?
Later, they sit at a table with a bearded man. Juliet cowers as she looks around.
Now, that is just so funny because I love sports.
Ready?
Yeah, jousting, fencing, grappling.
Oh my God! I am a jouster! Please, let me buy you another drink.
We'll be right back.
Rosalind stands and drags Juliet from her seat.
Okay. Now you try.
I don't know. These men are so
easy.
Stupid! Why on earth would I want to spend the rest of my life with someone like that?
You? Juliet, you're not here to find someone to spend your life with. You're here to just enjoy yourself. At their expense, and then never see them ever again. Okay? Get out there and have some fun.
Juliet stumbles forward.
Go on.
Rosalind motions Juliet forward with her hands. Juliet leans against a table. A man with dark hair and a full beard looks up.
Your mustache is so thick.
Oh, thank you.
She turns to Rosalind, who gives a thumbs up.
You want to have a seat?
Rosalind turns and walks to the bar.
Excuse me. Hello? Hello? Over here? If you could just...
The man next to her walks away, revealing Dario. His eyes find Rosalind.
How are you, Rosalind?
Admiralship for brains. Hello?
Rosalind leans toward the bartender.
I'd like to order a drink, sir.
The bartender quickly responds to Dario's whistle with two drinks. Rosalind looks away in anger. Dario sets a drink in front of her. She smugly looks at the drink, stares straight ahead, then lifts the mug to her lips.
You know, when I first came to Verona, I thought the place would be filled with women looking for a respectable husband. Turns out not so much.
Are you the respectable husband in that scenario?
He smiles, cocks his head, then toasts with his mug.
How's it going with that boyfriend of yours?
Good. Great, actually.
You know, is he here? I'd love to meet him.
No, he's actually busy tonight.
Really?
Dive bars aren't really his scene anyway.
Ah, shame. Well, I imagine he's very respectable.
Yeah, he's witty and smart, writes sonnets, speaks several different foreign languages. You know, just really the opposite of you.
Is that so?
He smirks as he shakes his head and takes a drink.
Well, I will leave you to it, then.
He'll be missed.
He leans on the bar. Subtitle.
Do anything.
For such a stunning woman.
Extreme.
You really are a horse's ass. She side-eyes him with an unsure expression. He glares before briskly walking away. Next, Juliet sits at a table with several attractive men.
All right, if you'll excuse me, I must go.
Hey, lady, please. You must let me see you sometime.
Back off, fella. She was talking to me.
Okay, bye.
She joins Rosalind at the bar.
Hey.
Hi, Rosalind. I'm having so much fun. Thank you.
They embrace.
Oh.
Juliet starts to pull away.
Ow. Oh, ow. Sorry.
Juliet's earring catches.
Oh, it's caught.
Juliet covers her ear and smiles.
Every time.
Juliet picks up a mug and drinks. Rosalind joins her.
Mm. And the best part is, you were totally right. I haven't thought about Romeo once.
Well, in that case...
Rosalind scans the bar.
Shall we do it again tomorrow?
Juliet raises her mug.
Yes.
Next, Rosalind and Juliet hang out.
My dearest Romeo. I haven't heard from you in a while. I hope you're okay. Nothing much new over here, except I'm being forced to babysit my younger cousin, and she's really a handful. I've somehow fallen into the role of big sister.
Check.
You know, older, wiser, more beautiful.
Check me.
A surprised Rosalind looks over the board.
At the very least, more worldly.
A wide-eyed and slack-jawed Juliet lowers a book titled Erotic Love.
They definitely didn't teach that in finishing school.
Rosalind lounges on her bed behind Juliet.
Wait till you get to page 74.
Juliet returns to the book.
You sure that he gets this? But enough about her. I miss you and your warm embrace, sweet Romeo. Yours, Rosalind.
At night, Rosalind draws.
Dearest Romeo, you must be really busy because I still haven't heard from you. I'm enclosing a map I made of the Apennine Mountains. I marked a trail to the perfect spot for our remote mountaintop cabin. Write me back. I'm so lost without you.
She hands Steve an envelope.
Rosalind.
Where is that?
Later, Juliet and Rosalind outside.
It's the island of Cyprus in the Famagusta Bay.
They lie by a fountain.
That's really beautiful.
Juliet turns on her side and looks at the drawing.
I'm sure you hear that all the time, though. No, actually, I don't. Well, it's true.
Juliet lies back down. Next, Rosalind stands alone by the gated estate entrance.
Romeo, are you alive? Have you run out of quill ink? Why do you not return my letters? Steve!
He turns to her, shakes his head, and shrugs. He walks on. Rosalind lets out a long breath and shakes her head. Later in the house, Juliet and Rosalind at the chessboard.
The knight goes here, and the pawn moves up one space. And that is the Ponziani opening.
An impressed-looking Rosalind studies the board.
You're awesome.
Next, Juliet talks to two young men in the stable. Nearby, a handler struggles with a horse. Juliet runs toward them.
It's okay.
Rosalind appears and watches. Juliet stands in front of a small bright window stroking the horse's nose.
So handsome.
Rosalind lowers her head and stares at the ground. Next, Juliet sits at a dining table playing a mandolin. A rabbit sits in a cage next to her. She sets down the mandolin and rises, wearing a full-length dress with frilly laced sleeves. Her hair is braided into two long pigtails.
Rosalind!
Hey.
Hi.
Okay. I have to tell you something.
Okay.
Juliet stands in front of a table. Rosalind faces her.
Look, this really isn't easy to admit, but I,
Rosalind's eyes focus on the table behind Juliet.
What are those?
Juliet turns. A stack of letters sit under a burning candelabra. She meets Rosalind's gaze.
He keeps writing me letters.
He's been writing you letters.
Rosalind gawks. She steps quickly to the table.
I just... I thought you were done with him.
I am. I was. No, I am.
Juliet!
They look at the balcony.
Juliet!
Rosalind eyeballs Juliet. Juliet scurries to the balcony doors and peeks outside.
Juliet!
He keeps showing up.
I won't go away until you talk to me, sweet Juliet.
Please, Rosalind, you gotta help me. Help you do what?
Romeo stands in the moonlit courtyard looking up. Juliet walks onto the balcony.
Stand back, Romeo. Don't come any closer.
He backs away. Inside, Rosalind hides by a curtain.
Doth mine eyes deceive me? All the heavens shine in your direction.
Stop talking. Stop talking!
I will not, Juliet, I will not and cannot, lest you tell me what I've done to displease you.
Fine. I'll tell you.
You're a phony.
You're a pony.
A what?
Phony. He's a phony.
A phony, I said. You're a liar and a scoundrel.
Rosalind reads one of his letters.
So I was the first you compared to the moon and the stars?
Was I the first you compared to the moon and the stars?
All right. Well, I will be honest with you. I have said those words to another, but I never meant them until I met you.
Oh, please.
Romeo gives a quizzical look.
Someone there with you?
No.
Juliet, we belong together.
He drops to a knee.
You need to go, Romeo.
Is it truly what you want?
You need to go, Romeo.
He slowly bows his head. The moonlight shimmers off the silver cloth covering his sleeves and chest.
And I will go.
He rises and looks up. Juliet's chest heaves as she meets his gaze.
Be gone for good.
He turns and walks off, clutching the sword sheath around his waist. Juliet leans on the balcony, fighting tears, and follows his silhouette with her eyes as he vanishes into the darkness. Inside, Rosalind takes a bundle of letters and hides them in the sleeve of her dress. A numb-looking Juliet returns inside. Rosalind eyes Juliet as she closes the balcony doors. Juliet turns and stares blankly across the room.
You did well.
So why do I feel so terrible?
Juliet composes herself and faces Rosalind.
Thank you, cousin. I'd be lost without you.
She smiles and hugs Rosalind.
Wait, wasn't there something you wanted to tell me?
Oh, no, it's not important.
Juliet's pigtail gets caught in Rosalind's necklace.
Oh, what does this keep happening?
If I just...
Okay, if you just... Need a, no.
Oh. Oh.
The necklace breaks off in Juliet's hand.
Romeo and...
Rosalind snatches the necklace.
Rosalind?
Rosalind's jaw drops. Juliet's eyes slowly rise toward Rosalind. Rosalind looks at the necklace. Her face drains.
Juliet,
don't speak.
Juliet walks away, mulling.
Juliet, it's not what it... I listened to you. I trusted you. And all you did was lie.
Juliet, I didn't lie. I just told you most of the truth instead of... Well, you know, all of it.
You were my friend.
I am your friend. I am.
All this time. Turns out you just wanted to steal my boyfriend away.
I was not trying to steal your boyfriend away. I was just trying to steal him back.
Oh, there's a difference.
A look of realization comes over Juliet.
I see how it is.
She boldly circles Rosalind.
Sure. I mean, it all makes perfect sense, actually. I'm younger than you. I'm richer than you. I'm not afraid of fish. I don't have huge man feet.
Rosalind stares at her feet.
You needed me out of the picture. I mean, of course you did. After all, what chance does someone like you have when someone like me is around?
Rosalind pokes her cheek with her tongue.
Well, cousin, it appears your little gambit has failed.
Juliet plays with a pigtail. Rosalind faces her.
Fine.
Good?
Great.
Let me know next time he shows up on your balcony.
Let me know when your wisdom teeth come in.
What?
You heard me.
The point is he's not coming.
Guess we'll see about that, won't we?
Next, Rosalind's home.
She's right. He's not coming.
Paris tries on a hat.
What's the use? It's hopeless.
Rosalind, what is this? You need to focus and pull it together. Come here.
He takes off the hat.
I don't have a ton of time for your drama right now, okay?
He puts it on her head.
Your father is not the only lord in town who as a child he disapproves of.
I'm sorry.
Only I can just get him off the scent, just for a little while.
He tries on a hat with long white lace.
Oh, this is cute.
He checks himself in a mirror. He has a string of pearls around his neck.
That's it. You marry her.
Who?
Juliet.
What? Have we met before? I'm Paris.
He turns from the mirror and gestures to himself.
You need a decoy. She needs an obstacle. I need her out of the picture. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's not perfect for me. I don't want to marry a woman.
Yeah, I know, but that's the best part. You
You won't have to marry her for another, like, 2 or 3 years. And by that time, you could be far away from here. You could be wherever you want.
Paris mulls, then cocks his head. Later, he meets with Juliet's parents.
And do you promise to care for her and protect her? And do you promise to guide her morally and keep her on a righteous path?
Oh, for sure.
And when the time is right, to bring a whole host of strapping young men into your household.
Wait, what?
Sons, Paris.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely, sons. Mm-hmm.
Then it fills me with the greatest of joy to accept your request.
They grab and shake each other's forearms.
In 2 years' time, when the girl is of marrying age, we will have the most glorious celebration to unite our families.
2 years, 3 years. I mean, there's really no rush.
And tonight, we'll feast. Go. Tell all of West Verona, and I will go tell the lucky girl the good news. She'll be so excited.
Lord Capulet slaps Paris's arm. Paris winces. Later that night.
You can't do this to me.
Of course I can. I'm your father.
No.
Juliet, every respectable family in Verona is downstairs celebrating your engagement while you're up here embarrassing me.
Outside Juliet's room.
You know I'm not just your daughter, right? I have opinions, ideas, passions of my own.
How dare you speak to us like that?
You have ruined my life.
Juliet!
They stop her from closing the door.
I thought you'd be pleased. Okay, he's Rosalind's friend. Pretty big deal. He's a count.
Rosalind's friend.
Whole great life for your future. Please.
She glares. Her parents jump back.
I'm so sorry, dear. I don't know what's gotten into her.
Oh, I know exactly what's gotten into her.
Downstairs at the party.
Rosalind, this is all your fault. Whatever wild ideas you've been filling my daughter's head with.
No.
Good to see you. I need you to unfill it at once. Go up to her room, get her down to her party.
Mm-hmm.
Please, please.
Yes, certainly, Uncle.
She nods at Paris and her uncle.
Go.
Paris gulps his drink.
Paris, you digging?
Paris waves his fingers and walks away.
The hell was you were?
Next, Rosalind makes her way upstairs. Moonlight from a stair window illuminates her on the landing. She makes her way up the next flight of stairs. She stops outside Juliet's bedroom.
Juliet?
Rosalind stands in the doorway looking inside. She slowly enters. Her eyes scan the dimly lit room.
Hello?
She peeks around a wall and sees an empty bed. She flings curtains to the balcony away as she steps outside. She scans the courtyard, then walks back inside. Several candelabras burn throughout the room. Rosalind sees a folded letter sitting on a nearby table. She picks up the letter and checks her surroundings before unfolding the paper.
Tie you hence to the friar cell, where tonight a true husband shall make you a wife. Shit. Excuse me. I'm in a rush.
She makes her way through the crowd downstairs.
Please move. I gotta stop waiting right
now. Her father approaches.
There she is. Look, it's Dario.
I really don't have time
Rosalind,
for this.
Rosalind, do not be rude. Please.
Rosalind faces the men. She walks to Dario.
Mwah. Mwah. Okay, good night.
She leaves after kissing both his cheeks.
She's coming around.
Later, bats appear in the dim moonlight as they fly from the pitch-black forest. Rosalind stands at the front gate, staring into the darkness.
Hey.
Dario walks down the candlelit stairs behind Rosalind. She makes a face and puts her hands on her hips.
Where are you going?
She shrugs.
What do you care?
I don't.
He sets his jacket on the railing.
Then what is it that you want?
He stands beside her.
I want my knife back, please.
She reaches behind her back.
Worth a shot.
You aren't actually thinking of going out there, are you?
Yeah.
Sure looks pretty dark.
I can manage.
Look, I can walk with you if you like.
I don't need an escort. We'll just be taking this with me, this torch, to go in by myself.
She holds a torch and makes her way past the gate. Dario leans on a wall, shakes his head, and smiles.
Christ, what was that?
Oh, it's probably nothing.
He approaches.
Or a bear.
Okay, well, maybe just to the bridge.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, what was that?
Could you please escort me through the forest?
I would love to.
Great. He takes the torch from her hand and leads the way.
Great.
They walk through a fine mist hanging above the dirt road.
I'm sorry, I can't tell you where we're going.
Oh, you're fine.
What I can say is, it's urgent. Extremely urgent.
Okay.
You're not even a little curious?
I don't get involved.
Rosalind looks left, then right.
It's this way. Well, if you must know, I'm going to stop a wedding. My boyfriend is about to make the biggest mistake of his life.
Hang on a second.
They stop. Light from the torch illuminates their faces.
It's your boyfriend's wedding.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. They just met. They barely know each other. They have literally nothing in common. He can't possibly love her.
How do you know that?
Were you listening just now?
They just met. They barely know each other. So what?
Oh my God.
That's not how love works. It isn't rational.
I knew you wouldn't understand.
So what's your plan when we get there?
We have to have a conversation. He needs to know how I feel.
Well, his wedding day seems like the perfect time for that.
We haven't had the chance to talk about any of this. And I want to show him what life was like before he...
Cheated on you.
He did not cheat on me.
Didn't he?
I'm done talking to you now.
They walk between tall shrubs.
So is this a back way in, or...?
Well, I'm not exactly welcome in these parts.
Because you're the axe?
No, because I'm a Capulet.
Dario stops.
Wait, this is Montague land?
Yep.
You never told me your ex was a Montague.
Did I never mention that?
No.
Hmm.
If they find us, Rosalind, they will kill us.
Well, you can go at any time.
Look, this is no joke. It isn't safe.
Relax. Romeo once told me that the guards are off duty at this time of night. The guards are totally...
Look out there!
A light appears behind them. They run. Couple run beside a large building with burning torches mounted to the walls. They stop at a large wood door.
Come on!
They close the door behind them.
Do you have a match?
Dario reaches into his pockets.
Are you sure this is safe?
Trust me.
He lights a lantern. Rosalind holds it in front of her. Guards sleep.
You were saying.
A kettle falls to the floor. The guards stir. Dario reaches for his sword.
Take my knife.
I already have it.
Dario engages the guards. Dario kicks a guard in the belly. He hits another with a chair. Rosalind's jaw drops as she watches Dario take out more guards. Dario locks eyes with Rosalind. He takes several deep breaths. Another guard appears. He kicks the guard.
Dario, look out!
A new guard swings a sword. Dario kicks him to a wall. Rosalind throws the knife, pinning the guard's shirt to the wall.
Lucky throw.
Lucky knife.
Dario pulls back his fist. The guard falls as Dario removes the knife. The couple flee out the back. Several guards enter through the front. Outside, the couple run away the way they came.
I see him, I see him.
They round a corner near a short wall. They stop next to a large set of wood doors. Candles in the walls burn on both sides of the doors. The guards arrive at the doors. The guards jump for cover as Dario and Rosalind burst past on horses. The horses gallop down the dirt road, disappearing in the darkness of night. Next, the yellow and orange bottom of the sun is barely visible in a cloudy sky as it rises over a mountain range. Dirt roads cut through the mountainside. Dust flies from the hooves of the couple's horses as they gallop along the dirt road. Rosalind's chestnut color horse races beside Dario's white horse as they round a long curve. They pass by rows and rows of grapevines growing in the fields. Later, the horses slow to a walking pace as the couple travels along a narrow path in the woods. Rosalind's sullen eyes look straight ahead. Dario smiles and glances her way.
Let me ask you something. What is it you like about this Montague?
Lots of stuff.
In particular?
Well, we're in love.
Then what do you love about him?
It's not something that you can put into words, so.
Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is an open door. Love is all you need. I mean, love is like knowing how to fly, how to breathe. When you're apart from her, you can feel it in your stomach. You can taste it. And when you're together, it's like, it's impossible to believe for one single minute that anyone anywhere has ever had so much fun in the whole entire world.
Rosalind looks around, mulling.
That's what love is like. Put into words. It's not that hard.
They stop. Dario grabs his horse's reins. Rosalind stares at the ground and swallows, then begins to dismount. Dario appears and helps her down. Their eyes briefly lock. Dario grabs the horse's reins. Rosalind scratches her chest and checks her surroundings. Dario ties the horses to a tree, then joins Rosalind. They walk.
I'm sorry I got you into all this mess.
Wasn't all bad.
And I'm sorry that...
They stop and face each other.
I might have maybe misjudged you a little.
Your hand.
He takes her hand.
Oh, it's fine. It's just a little, you'll probably get that later.
He tears off a piece of his shirt and wraps it around a cut on top of her right hand.
Is that okay?
She looks up with uncertain eyes, then glances at her hand.
Yeah.
Her eyes shift to his face. He continues working on the bandage, their bodies edge closer. He meets her gaze. They freeze.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
He uses his hand to brush hair from her face. He lets out a breath and goes to kiss her. She turns away. She awkwardly shifts her stance.
I should go.
Yeah. Same. Noah's supposed to rejoin the fleet today, and I haven't even started to pack.
You really going back?
Yeah.
Why?
I guess I didn't find a good enough reason to stay.
He feigns a smile.
Good luck, Rosalind. It was interesting getting to know you.
Their eyes meet again. She nods.
You too, Dario.
He smiles and dips his head, then slowly makes his way back to the horses. Rosalind turns and looks the opposite direction with a sad face. She takes a breath and starts down the dirt path to the gate of her father's estate. Behind her, Dario rides off with both horses. Rosalind stops and looks back at Dario. Later, she enters her bedroom. She pushes the door shut with her bandaged hand, then leans her back against the door. Her body sinks. She takes a breath and looks to the sky, standing motionless with her back firmly against the bedroom door.
Late night?
Oh my God.
The nurse sits on her bed.
You scared me.
Good, that makes two of us.
Rosalind staggers to the bed.
What on earth have you been doing until 6 in the morning?
Rosalind sits, illuminated by the dull early morning light.
It's complicated.
The nurse gets off the bed.
Nurse, can I ask you something? Have you ever been in love?
I was. Once.
What did it feel like?
A slight smile comes over the nurse. Her gaze shifts upward as she reflects.
It's a bit like having vertigo. Quite a lot like being drunk. But when it's real, you won't question it.
Rosalind purses her lips and nods. The nurse walks away. Rosalind's gaze shifts to the end of her bed. She stands and lifts the mattress, grabbing the stack of letters she took from Juliet. She sits on the end of the bed and studies the stack. Written on the letter on top is the name Juliet. She turns the letter over. The wax seal has been broken. She unfolds the paper and begins to read the letter signed by Romeo. A soft smile forms on her lips. Her eyes drift. She lifts her head and looks around, then grabs the stack of letters. She makes her way across the room and sits at her desk. She grabs her quill, dips it into the inkwell, and writes the words, "Juliet, these letters are your love story, not mine. I'm sorry, Rosalind." She folds the letter. She pours hot wax on a fold, then presses a seal over the wax. She sets the seal down, purses her lips, and picks up the letter. Next, the sun shines brightly on the Capulet estate. Steve the courier slips and falls as he runs up a short set of stairs. He picks himself up and continues on. He stands at the massive front door. Tybalt answers.
Yeah, what up, man? Special delivery?
Tybalt smiles and pats Steve's shoulder.
Thanks, Chief. Yeah. Oh, hustle along. I got an envelope. I miss Juliet. Juliet.
I'll see that she gets it.
All right, man.
Steve runs off. Tybalt's eyes focus on the envelope. Next, Rosalind rides a horse on a trail in the woods. She slows the horse to a walking pace. She passes under a canopy of trees illuminated by streaks of sunlight. She stops next to a short stack of cut firewood. Steve pops up from behind the stack, then drops down.
Steve, I just saw you.
As he stands, he looks to his left, then his right.
You back already?
Yes, Miss Rosalind. I was just,
Next to him, a young, smiling woman rises.
You know...
Did she seem pleased?
He looks at the woman.
Yeah. Pleased?
She playfully shrugs.
Juliet!
Oh.
When you gave her the letter.
Oh.
Yeah.
I gave it to the big dude instead.
Big dude? What dude? Which dude?
Master Tybalt.
Rosalind looks away.
Shit.
What?
Paris appears and bends over.
It's Romeo and Tybalt.
Later, Rosalind and Paris strut briskly through a crowd in the city.
You creep-faced loon! Whatever you say for yourself!
Thou art as fat as butter.
An injured Mercutio is pulled on a cart. Rosalind and Paris pick up their pace.
Look what you've done.
Tybalt lies on his back on a staircase.
Tybalt is dead. I should kill all of you.
Oh, I'd like to see you try,
stop
you great
this
rooting hog.
Your son is a murderer. With self-defense, Fire-Eyed Fury be my conduct now.
You liar!
He's not lying. He's honest and kind and a good person. His heart knows no hate or anger. If he says that he was challenged, then I promise you that he's telling the truth.
I'm sorry. How do you know him?
Rosalind winces as she watches Juliet turn from Lord Capulet to Romeo. She stares deep into his eyes as they join hands.
He's my husband.
We're in love.
Capulet throws his arms up. Lord Montague groans.
Oh, boy.
You will never see him again.
And you will be banished. Never to set foot in Verona again.
No.
You will have this farce annulled and marry Count Paris in the morrow.
Heather, no.
I'm sorry, what?
You can't do this.
Yeah, tomorrow doesn't really work for me either, so.
Guards!
No, detain him!
He's getting away!
Run, my heart!
I won't let them keep us apart.
Capulet approaches Montague.
You know what this means, Lord Montague?
Yes, I do, Lord Capulet. It means war.
You bald-headed peasant.
See you soon, tough guts.
Will you?
Summon my army for battle.
Juliet, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'll fix this. I'll find a way. Haven't you done enough already?
Juliet runs off. Rosalind stands by herself. Her eyes shift as she mulls. She turns and scurries through the crowd. Later, she runs along the boat dock. Daria works on the sailboat.
Here.
The shirtless Dario turns to her.
Okay. I don't know if you heard about the whole Romeo and Juliet thing, but
yeah.
Things got a little out of hand.
I heard.
But not to worry. I've come up with a plan to fix everything. It's just gonna take you and I
to... I'm sorry, but you want my help with this?
I told you, I don't get involved.
Fine.
Except... Besides, the last time I helped you, we were almost killed.
Okay, but that's...
There is no but, Rosalind.
Could you just at least put on a shirt or something?
She averts her eyes. Dario looks down at his bare chest. Rosalind glares as Dario steps off the boat and stands in front of her.
Why?
Because I'm trying to have a conversation here, and it's...
She waves her hand.
It's distracting.
He cocks his head. He crosses his arms over his chest with a defiant expression.
So I've made some mistakes. Okay, a lot of mistakes. I was wrong about Romeo. I was wrong about Juliet. I was even wrong about me in a lot of ways. But I know that I'm not wrong about this, Dario. We need to make this right.
There's that we again.
He picks up a small keg.
Yes, we. Because another thing I was wrong about is you.
He places the keg on board the ship, then faces Rosalind.
You're completely full of shit.
Oh, yeah?
The whole, I don't care about other people. I don't want to get involved. Nonsense. It's a big load of crap, Dario. You care about people.
She walks onto a platform.
You're a good person.
It's just because I have a boat, isn't it?
No, they're in trouble. They're in trouble, and I'm responsible. I need to fix this. Will you please help me?
She looks with pleading eyes. Dario purses his lips and turns his head.
First sign of danger, and I'm out of there.
Fine.
Seriously, I'm not getting killed over this.
Yeah, I just said fine.
He steps onto the platform and stands directly in front of her. Their eyes lock. Behind them, sunlight glistens off caps of small waves.
Okay.
She smiles. He reaches for his shirt.
Let's go say true love.
Great.
He steps onto the dock.
Is it cool if we borrow the boat?
He puts on his shirt, hesitates, then walks away. Next, Juliet on her bed with a rabbit wearing a long dress with a floral pattern. She gently strokes the rabbit. Two silhouettes appear behind the sun-bathed curtain doors leading to her balcony. Juliet rises and walks toward the door, carrying the rabbit. Juliet's eyes sharpen as she nears.
Rosalind!
Rosalind stands with Dario.
Hey.
What are you doing here?
I have come to help you.
I don't want your help, Rosalind.
I know that. And again, I'm really, really, really sorry. But we've got a boat. Well, actually, Dario. Dario has a boat.
Hello.
We'll get Romeo, smuggle you both to the docks, and then, under the cover of darkness, you'll sail to safety before anyone realizes that you're gone.
Rosalind grins and nods. Juliet looks at Dario.
That's, very kind of you, cousin. But I already have a plan.
You do?
Rosalind turns to Dario. He shrugs.
Okay. That's great. What is it?
I'm going to fake my own death.
Sorry, what?
It's simple. There's this potion that causes total body paralysis for hours at a time. I'll drink it, they'll find me, it'll look like I'm dead, then they'll prepare me for burial. Then, once they leave, I'll wake up. Romeo will then come out of hiding. He's at the Montague Chapel with Benvolio right now. Then he'll find me in the church, carry me off into the sunset, and we'll live happily ever after. It's foolproof.
Okay. Juliet, that is quite possibly the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. Are you kidding me? There's like 50 different ways that could go wrong. I mean, what if the potion has side effects? What if they actually bury you? Have you thought of that? What if Romeo thinks you're really dead?
I've sent Steve the Courier to tell him.
Steve the Courier is an idiot! You've got to trust me. My plan is better. Let's go. Juliet?
Juliet lies on her back and closes her eyes. Dario finds a small vial and shows it to Rosalind.
Did you drink it already?
Later, Rosalind has her arms under Juliet's shoulders, dragging her to the balcony.
When you wake up, you'll be right next to Romeo, okay? I promise. Everything's gonna be just fine. Okay. Dario, you ready?
Dario stands in the courtyard 20 feet below.
Yes, sir.
Yes, just toss her to me.
Okay, on three.
Dario extends his arms.
One.
Rosalind struggles. Juliet's body weaves.
Nope. One.
Juliet!
She tries waking Juliet.
Juliet! Dario, save yourself!
She looks down. Dario is gone.
That sneaky son of a bitch!
Juliet!
Okay, it's not what it looks like.
A guard escorts Rosalind. A small room.
If you just let me explain, I think we could really just have a nice talk and talk about it, and I can explain everything. Please!
She looks around the storage room. She sees a small barred window filled with sunlight above her. She runs to a small ledge beneath. She holds onto the bars and looks outside. She turns to the door to see her father.
Oh, thank God. Okay, you have got to help me, Father.
They found Juliet in your arms?
Yeah, I know. And I can explain that, but right now, I just need you to help me get out of here.
Rosalind, your cousin is dead.
Who knows she's dead?
The whole town.
She lowers her head, then steps toward him.
Things seem really bad right now. I get it. But you know me. And you know I would never, ever hurt Juliet.
She stares with melancholy eyes.
Look, I know I'm not exactly the daughter you wish I was. But just this once, I need you to trust me. Please.
I honestly don't know what to think.
He grabs the door and leaves. She looks away. He peeks back inside.
But you will always be the daughter I wish you were.
They share a soft smile. He walks away, leaving the door open.
Guards! A Montague! Over there! Go! Go!
Later, Rosalind holds up her dress as she runs through the sun-streaked woods. Next, a balcony at the Montague estate.
My lord!
A guard approaches.
Juliet Capulet is dead. Suicide, apparently. They're burying her body in the church.
Where Juliet lies, Romeo shan't be far away. We must get to him before the Capulets come!
Next, the church. Juliet lies in state on her back, hands folded across her chest. A nun prays next to her. The nun rises and pulls a lace blanket over Juliet, then gently strokes Juliet's cheek. Outside, two guards stand at attention, dressed in full armor, perched on both sides of a tunnel entrance next to a bridge. They each hold long battle spears. Below them, Rosalind stands at the edge of a flowing stream, studying the water and her surroundings.
It's okay. It's okay. You got this. Just pretend there's something else. Leaves with gaping mouths.
Fish of various sizes swim by. She moves to the edge of the stream.
Oh, I'm in.
She walks across the knee-deep water.
What was that?
She stops.
Okay, there's just a leaf.
She continues.
Just a leaf.
She reaches the other side and climbs up a small embankment, flipping the bottom half of her wet dress.
It's not gonna work.
The Montague Chapel. Rosalind in her undergarment.
My lady, your clothes.
Where's Romeo?
Benvolio rises and stares at Rosalind in her white chemise.
Focus. Did he get the message?
What message?
From Juliet.
She closes her eyes and gathers herself, then grabs his jacket from a pew. He raises his hand and nods. She turns and runs for the chapel door, putting the jacket over her as she goes. Later, she runs through the city square. The cape from the sleeveless jacket flows behind her as she makes her way up the steps to a double doorway. She bursts through the doors and races down the church aisle. Ahead, Romeo lies over Juliet's body.
Oh my God.
Dario approaches.
Rosalind.
You get out of my way.
She moves across from Romeo.
Oh my God. No, it's not real. Juliet's alive. She's alive.
Get a grip, Rosalind.
I was trying to tell you.
But you ran away.
As fast as I could.
Oh, you ran to him.
Someone had to. I mean, the kid was gonna off himself when he heard the news.
They all look toward the bell.
What now?
He said you would know what to do because you're a genius?
She raises her brow at Dario. He sheepishly lowers his head.
Okay. Lay down as you were. Close your eyes. Quickly. Now you're both dead. Star-crossed lovers that couldn't live apart. That's pretty good.
You think that's gonna work?
I mean, it might if she doesn't wake up.
A crowd of mourners dressed in black approach from the back of the church.
Oh! Heaven forsake me! Oh no! Why?
What is she doing here?
Rosalind?
What are all of you doing here?
Where is my boy? Where is he?
Lord Montague! I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're too late.
No.
Montague stands by the bodies. He reaches for Romeo.
You foolish boy! There were so many things I never got to tell you!
He grabs Romeo's shoulders.
Come back to me!
Oh.
Foolish boy! Come back to me!
Shaking him won't bring him back.
He lets go. He looks quizzically at Romeo. Dario coughs. Montague turns.
Sorry. Wrong pipe. Capulet. Your daughter is responsible for the death of my son!
You are such a liar! Truth be told, Montague, you are the one to blame.
I should kill you
for
now.
For the love of God! Will you stop fighting? This is all your faults. You, and you, every single one of you people, they'd still be alive if not for your baseless judgments and blind hatred and petty squabbling.
Adrian, control your daughter.
Shut it, Mario. Let her speak.
He was a Montague. She was a Capulet. So what? That didn't stop them from seeing the beauty in each other. That didn't stop them from falling in love. You know what did stop them?
She waves her finger.
You did. This stupid war, this selfishness. Shame on you! And shame on your houses!
Her father raises his brow at her.
She's right, you know.
Lady Capulet.
Well, it is our fault.
Lady Montague.
Theirs, mostly.
Oh, that's what I meant. The two of you, with your heads stuck right up your asses.
The lords share somber looks.
Perhaps enough blood has been shed. Let's end this war, Capulet.
If their deaths be the last, they shall not have died in vain. So let our families be close, united by the loss we share today.
May peace reign here a while. And let their spirits rest in heaven.
May angels sing their praises in their resting place.
Juliet awakens.
Let their names be inscribed in marble across the land.
Good marble.
Expensive marble.
Rich Corinthian marble.
Porphyry.
Porphyry. Rosalind and Juliet gesture to one another.
Wood.
Wood?
Wooden doors.
Nah.
Church doors.
Fountains. Oh. Good call.
What? Oh, she's alive!
My daughter.
Romeo. Romeo. I will kiss thy lips. Haply some poison yet doth remain on them.
Juliet, no! No!
Thy lips are warm.
She falls on her back. He slouches over. His face lands on her belly.
Okay, what the hell was that?
Is there a doctor in the house?
Yeah, we'd like to have some confirmation.
Step aside. Thank you. Professional coming through.
Rosalind and her nurse share a look as she approaches. She looks to the ceiling as she checks the pulses of Romeo and Juliet at the same time.
Yes. They are definitely dead.
How can you be sure?
How can I be sure? For the love of God! I am a registered bloody nurse!
I thought that was just your name.
No, my name's Janet.
Well, Montague's Capulet's anon. Capulet's anon. Capulet's anon.
Rosalind guards the couple.
They couldn't live in peace. At least let them rest in it.
She looks on as Capulet and Montague shake hands, then walk away with the rest of the family.
Let us take our leave of this dreary scene.
Rosalind and her father share a warm smile as he follows the others. Dario holds back laughter as he eyes Rosalind. Paris nervously sways. Rosalind turns to the couple.
Okay, they're gone. You can wake up now.
I love you so much.
I love you so much more.
I love you so much more.
Rosalind stands next to Dario. They watch Romeo and Juliet hug.
Tell me the truth. You could be halfway to Venice by now. What made you come back?
I don't know. There's just something about you that makes me do stupid things.
She smiles and crosses her arms. Next, the sun shines on mountains and the blue sea as they gather at the boat dock.
Well, I'll never forget you, Rosalind.
Back at you, Romeo. It's been real. Get it.
They hug. A happy-looking Juliet stands next to Dario near the sailboat. Rosalind approaches with a map.
So, you should plan to land at Paphos Harbor. But if the wind picks up and you end up at the Maletti Forest, that's also supposed to be really great.
She rolls up the map.
Thank you, Rosalind, for everything.
What are cousins for?
Rosalind extends her arms. They hug. Romeo approaches.
Whilst the heavens and earth circle the vermilion star.
Romeo, just so get in the boat.
Yes.
He boards. Dario greets him.
Okay, buddy.
Dario helps Juliet on board.
Thank you. Okay.
Juliet stands before Romeo. They kiss. Romeo takes her hand and helps her to a seat. Dario pushes the boat away, then stands next to a smiling Rosalind. Romeo sits in the middle seat of the boat, rowing out to sea. Dario and Rosalind wave.
I'm really gonna miss that boat.
I know.
Later, Romeo and Juliet sit at the back of the boat. Romeo steers. Wind fills the mainsail.
Have you ever been to Cyprus?
No. Have you?
No. It's an island.
Yeah.
Hmm.
They both look straight ahead. Romeo lets out an uneasy breath. On the dock, Rosalind sits with Dario, her eyes focused on the small boat.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah?
Did you, ever, you know, if I got another boat, maybe when I...
She grabs his face and kisses him. They sit on the dock, kissing. The sun dances off the surface of the water behind them. She stops, leans back, and looks into his eyes.
I'll think about it.
He rises and extends his hand. She grabs his hand and pulls herself up. They walk hand in hand down the dock.
You know, centuries from now, when everyone's telling this story, you think you and I will even be mentioned?
Honestly? I couldn't care less.
Me neither.
They walk through the small boathouse attached to the dock. The image of the boathouse morphs into a drawing of a map of the area. I'm stuck to another life. Skip over to the other line. A line moves across the map. Mountains and forest fill in as the line moves left to right. Maybe living on another show. The mountains give way to the gate and grounds of Rosalind's father's estate. Rosalind's balcony appears at the top of the estate. Next, Romeo and a bored-looking Juliet on the boat.
Do you like sports?
Not really.
Food?
What?
Do you like food?
Do I like food?
Like, what's your favorite food? What would your favorite food be?
I like pizza.
Oh.
Probably pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Romeo anxiously scratches his nose and mulls.
You don't like pizza?
I am lactose intolerant. I like veal.
Baby cow.
Is it?
She nods.
Just 7 more hours to go.
Then the rest of our lives.
Right. Yes.
The boat continues across the gentle sea toward an empty horizon. Audio description created by Descriptive Video Works.
The moon is high like your friends were the night that we first met. Went home and tried to stalk you on the internet. Now I've read all of the books beside your bed. The wine is cold like the shoulder that I gave you in the street. Cat and mouse for a month or two or three. Now I wake up in the night and watch you breathe. Kiss me once cause you know I had a long night. Kiss me twice cause it's gonna be alright. Three times cause I waited my whole life.
Yeah.
things, but I'd marry you with paper rings. That's right, you're the one I want. I hate accidents, except when we went from friends to this. Darling, you're the one I want.
But you don't see me standing here. I just came to say goodbye. I'm in the corner watching you kiss her. Oh.